I am Houston.
Praise God. How good it is to be in San Diego this morning with you. You are the best looking crowd I've spoken to all day. And I love Pastor Miles. I respect him greatly. But there's another side to that story. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. Lord, I thank you that every single one of them is important to you. That you have a purpose and you have a plan for every life here. I believe today, Father, already you're working in the hearts and the lives of people. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to speak life into people's homes, into their world, into their families, into their endeavors. And we thank you for the great honor of being part of the kingdom of God. Lord, have your way today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, so nice to be here. I pastor a church, as you heard, called Hillsong Church. My wife and I planted that church, pioneered it 30 years ago this August. And one of the things our church is known for is its praise and worship. Matter of fact, at least a couple of the songs you sung this morning come from Hillsong Church. And so what a blessing it has been for us way down under to see how God can take a little church down under and use its praise and its worship all over the world. And just on Friday night, we were at the Hollywood Bowl. And as far as I know, maybe the first ever worship band or gospel Christian band ever to be at the Hollywood Bowl. And it was packed out with praises and worship. Just an amazing night. Well, every year at Hillsong Conference, which starts in Australia in 3 weeks' time, we release a live worship album. This year, it's going to be called Glorious Ruins. My message this morning is from the song, Glorious Ruins. Because you guys are unlikely to know the song, I want to just play a little of it for you. And then I want to speak right off the back of the song. But if you can listen to what we are singing about, it's all about ruins coming to life. Let's enjoy together. Thank you. pictures. Let the ruins come to life. That's what we're singing. Incidentally, the guy who it got stuck on, caught on the picture, was my oldest son, Joel. Well, the song says, when the world caves in, still my hope will cling to your promise. Where my courage ends, let my heart find strength in your presence. Then it says, I'll walk through the fire with my head lifted high and my spirit revived in your story. And I'll look to the cross as my failure is lost in the light of your glorious grace. Listen to it. Let the ruins come to life. In the beauty of your name, rising up from the ashes, God forever, you reign. It's all about glorious ruins. The Bible says a lot about glorious ruins. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 11, verse 3, it's talking about the great cedar trees in Lebanon. It calls them the pride of the Jordan. These trees were the pride of the Jordan. And it says of these trees, it says that the pride of the Jordan was in ruins. Their glory was in ruins, it says. In the scriptures, ruins can speak of many different things. Do you know glorious ruins in the Old Testament? It speaks of the temple where Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king, a pagan king, had devastated Jerusalem. He had destroyed it. The people, their dreams were ruined. They found themselves in captivity. They found themselves ostracized from everything they had hoped for and everything they believed for. And the temple which represented the glory of God, not only in its structure, but God's glory was on the inside, but it was in ruins. It was charred, smoking ruins. That's the way Nebuchadnezzar left it. So ruins can speak of the Old Testament temple. Or, of course, ruins, glorious ruins, can speak of humanity. Because what God created was glorious. He created you in his own image. David said, Psalm 139, verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O Lord, and that my soul knows very well. He said he was fearfully and wonderfully made. My wife and I have that verse covered because she's wonderfully made and I am fearfully made. But listen to me, friends. The truth is that glorious ruins can speak about a temple, can speak about humanity. What God created was glorious, but because of sin, and the sin nature, what was created glorious was in ruins. Glorious ruins today, I believe, can speak to you personally. Because the truth is that oftentimes we find ourselves facing ruin. Maybe there are people in this room. In fact, I would say certainly there are people in this room. And perhaps your dream, your hope for the future, it seems like it's in ruins. There could be people here who are facing financial ruin. Or maybe have already been through the pain of being ruined financially. There could be people whose relationship is in ruins or is in close to ruins. There may be people here who ruins represent something else. But the good news is, the song says, when the ruins come to life, in the beauty of his name, rising up from the ashes, God, forever you reign. It's a powerful thing when you believe that God reigns and that you can believe that God can bring ruined things and bring life to them. And the scriptures are filled with examples. The greatest example of ruins coming to life is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus, who was prepared to leave his position of glory in heaven, who emptied himself of the glory of the Father, who allowed his body to be beaten, to be murdered in this scandal of grace on behalf of you and I. And what was glorious was in ruins. But again, listen to it. Ruins come to life in the beauty of his name. God out of ashes can bring life. when that temple, that Old Testament temple, was in ruins. The scripture talks about how that Nebuchadnezzar had God's people ostracized in captivity. But listen, there was a season of grace. And in the book of Ezra, which I'm really speaking from today, Ezra in the Old Testament, this godly king, Ezra, he started to speak of a season of grace. They were devastated. They were destroyed. The temple was in ruins. And in Ezra chapter 9, verse 8, Ezra the priest says, "And now for a little while, grace has been shown us from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our eyes may be enlightened and to give us a measure of revival in our bondage." Listen to it. "For we were slaves." Thank God we all here were something. Aren't you glad you don't have to live your life according to what you were? But a great testimony means we can live our lives according to who Christ is. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Amen. And so he said, "We were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage." He goes on and said, "But he extended mercy to us in the eyes of the kings of Persia." Listen to it. "To revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins." Hug up faith today to believe that whatever ruins may represent in your life, that God can bring life to those ruins. It says to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. Ruins speak of better days. In Gladiator, Russell Crowe, a good Australian, he said, speaking of Rome, he spoke about the glory of Rome. And you can go to Rome or other European cities and see ruins. And those old historic ruins, they represent glory days or a better day. Ruins can represent neglect, abandonment, disaster, scars of a past battle. And they can represent a whole lot of different things. But what I want to encourage you with today is just simply believing that whatever it seems is in ruin in your life, whatever it is that's left a gaping hole in your heart, I believe ruins come to life. The song I played, it says, "I walked through the fire with my head lifted high and my spirit revived in his story." And that's how ruins come to life. It's when your spirit is revived in his story, in Jesus' name. And in the book of Ezra, ruins came to life. Ruins became glorious through three specific things I want to talk about for the next few minutes. And the first is praise power. In the book of Ezra, ruins came to life through the power of praise. Look at Ezra chapter 3 with me, if you would. Ezra chapter 3. And it's talking how God's people, they were rebuilding the temple. They were believing to see the ruins come to life. And it says in Ezra chapter 3, how that they were simply finishing the foundations of the building of the temple. And listen to what it says. It says, "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively." That's the way I love singing. When we sing responsively. Oh, I love it when people know how to praise God, like we were encouraged to do this morning. It says, they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. It says, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Hey, if you're facing ruin in any area of your world or your life, maybe financial ruin, maybe the ruins of a relationship, maybe a ruined dream or a ruined hope, maybe even for some, your reputation is in ruins. Come against accusation. I want to encourage you, never underestimate the power of praise. Do you know, praise has power in the heavenlies. And this is an example of praise happening not after you receive a miracle, not after you feel like your prayers are already answered. But they were praising God at the foundation of the temple coming to life. I mean, the building hadn't happened yet. It still looked more like its ruins than it did like its past glories. And yet, just at the foundation of the miracle, of the Old Testament temple coming to life, the people start praising God. Do you know, we praise God at the beginning of our services, not just to warm you up a little bit or let the late comers come. It's because praise is an entry point into the presence of God. Don't ever underestimate the power of praise in your life. Praise is the entry point. Psalm 100 verse 4, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. As a matter of fact, it's a recurring theme in the scripture that if you want to enter into a miracle, you want to enter into the presence of the Lord, then you should know the power of praising God. Praise is not just something we do in church Sunday. Praise is a way of life. You can praise on your bed in the morning. You can put the iPod in if that's how you best like to shut out the world and just start spending time with the Lord. And you can praise God. Praise him in the car. Praise him on the bus. Praise him in the tram. Praise him anywhere you wish. The reality is that praise has power, and praise can bring ruins to life in Jesus' name. Never underestimate the power of praise. What separated Moses from the people in the first exile of God's people from Egypt is that when they faced the Red Sea, they had been delivered from Pharaoh, slavery. They were heading towards the promised land, but they get to the Red Sea, and there's a story many know, of course, but they can't get through. They've got the sea in front of them, the ocean. They've got the enemy coming behind. And the people start complaining. They're criticizing, complaining, saying we were better off where we were in Egypt. They were complaining, but while they were still complaining, Moses is already praising God. He's saying, you know, glory, Father, glory. He's starting to give glory to God. Now, after the miracle, when God opened the sea and they were able to walk through and come to that point of deliverance, get to the other side, then the people started praising God. They said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. And they praised God after the miracle. Moses was a leader because he was praising God before the miracle. Friend, if you need ruins to come to life, don't ever underestimate the part that praise plays. When Jesus faced the ruins, literally the body, a dead body of his friend Lazarus. I love the story. It's in John chapter 11. And you know, I love the story because the truth is that Mary, Martha, they were Lazarus' sisters. They called Jesus. And it seems perhaps there was a whole lot of doubt in their lives. The Bible says Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, but it's a powerful verse because Jesus wasn't just weeping out of defeat and discouragement. Jesus was moved with compassion. And every time the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion, something powerful was about to happen. So there's a scene because the scripture describes how a whole crowd of people gather. A whole crowd of people gather. Everyone was there. CNN, Fox News, NBC, ABC, CBS, everybody was there. The History Channel, you know, everybody came. Even TBN turned up. They were late, but they came. Listen to it. It's John chapter 11. It says verse 38, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Jesus, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. But listen to what Jesus does. Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You would see ruins come to life. And so they took away the stone, verse 41, from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and started to praise God. He lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Listen, Lazarus was still dead. While Lazarus is still dead, what's Jesus do? He starts to praise God. Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I say this for the people, that they may know. He started to praise God. When do you start praising God? When you're still facing ruins? Or do you only praise God when he answers your prayer? We start our service with praise because it's the way to enter the presence of God. I would encourage you to build your life never underestimating the power of praising God. Knowing how to praise God, praise God. It's impossible to be negative and praise God at the same time. Did you know that? It's impossible to be negative and praise God at the same time. Praise is the power of heaven. Praise power brings ruins to life. Not only does praise power, but prophetic power in the book of Ezra brought ruins to life. Listen to Ezra chapter 8, verse 14. It's talking about the glorious temple that was in ruins coming back to life. And in Ezra chapter 8, chapter 6, verse 14, it says, so the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet of Zechariah, and Zechariah, it says, and they built and finished it according to the commandment of the Lord and according to the commands of Persian kings. Listen to it again. It says that the building prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. The second last, third last books of the Old Testament. Haggai, Zechariah, Old Testament prophets. And they start prophesying the rebuilding of the temple or ruins coming to life. Haggai, this is what he said in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 through to verse 9. He said, I will fill this temple with glory. This glorious, this ruin is going to become glorious. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. He goes on, says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. He said, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Well, says the Lord of hosts today, I believe, is that what is ruined by sin, what is ruined perhaps by poor choices or wrong decisions, or by the devastation of opposition, however else perhaps that you are facing ruin. Maybe it's because somebody has let you down. But I do know that not only through praise power, but you're going to let God's word speak life into your future. You see, God's word, it is full of prophecy. It is full of speaking life. Haggai spoke about the glory of what's ahead being greater than what's behind. Can you believe in Jesus' name that the glory of what's ahead is greater than what's behind? That when you walk through the fire, you can lift your head high because your spirit is revived in his story. Do you believe that ruins come to life in the beauty of his name? That rising up from the ashes, God's will, God's purpose, God's promise will forever reign. I want to encourage you to know that God's word speaks life into your future. It's not, as you know, just a historic book that we gather as a memorial around today to think of a time past. No, it's speaking life into your God-given future. I've been a pastor now, well, pretty well most of them, my adult life. And I can tell you, I can give you example after example. How I've seen people who have been in ruin. In one way or another, they're facing ruin. And the ruins have come to life as I've let the word of the Lord speak life into them. Your pastor, Miles McPherson, awesome guy. Awesome guy. He lost the bet. But he's an awesome guy. And you know, he speaks life into you every single week through the word of God. how powerful that he gets a chance to have a rest, because you're going to be the benefactors when he comes back. He's going to be so fired up, so ready, that you better hold on to your seat, because there's good days ahead in Jesus' name. There are great days ahead for the Rock Church San Diego, which is exciting. But you know, as you let the Word of God speak life into you, I love Zechariah. He started speaking. He said, it's not by might nor power, but by my spirit. Don't forget that the ruins came to life through the prophesying of Haggai, Zechariah. He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He says, this mountain shall become a plain. He said, shout grace, grace to it. He said, despise not the day of small things. You know, Zechariah, he didn't just speak of the rebuilding of the temple. He spoke about the rebuilding of the future. As a matter of fact, Zechariah prophesied Jesus. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, verse 10, Zechariah says, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. Who does that sound like? Right back there in the Old Testament, he starts speaking about a king who is coming, having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a foal, the Bible says. So what was he doing? He was speaking life into the future. And the rebuilding of God's promise was built on the prophetic word. And today, I believe God can speak life into your future. You see, the truth is, God is for you and not against you. The truth is that God is true to his word. It's true that God's word is immutable, which means unchangeable. It is irrefutable. It's infallible. It is irrepressible. It's unshakable. His name is higher. His name is greater. All your hope is in him. His word unfailing. His promise unshaken. All your hope is in him. Let the word of the Lord speak life into you today. God has a God-given future for you. He has a God-given promise and he has a God-given hope. And I believe in Jesus' name, as you allow Jesus Christ to be Lord in your life, that ruins in this place are coming to life. Testimonies are on their way. Praise power, prophetic power, personal power. And by personal power, I'm not talking about some sort of motivational self-help, you know, Anthony Robbins pump you up course, although there may be a place for that. I'm speaking about the power of intimacy with God, relationship with God, seeing ruins come to life. You see, this priest, Ezra, he prophesied a season of grace in the middle of devastation, where God's promise was restored, where ruins came to life. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it says, this Ezra prepared his heart to seek the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, and to do it. And listen to it. It says, and to teach others. Think about this. You need to let the word. Ezra prepared his heart. He let the word work in his life. You need to live the word. Love the word, excuse me. It says Ezra prepared his heart to seek the word of the Lord. You need to let the word, love the word, live the word. He prepared his heart to seek the word of the Lord and to do it. He loved the word and he lived the word, and to teach others to lead the word. You know, when we allow the word to be working in our life, God's word, and when we decide that we are going to live the word, we're going to love the word, and we're going to lead others around us, lead our families in the word, that's the way to see ruins come to life. There's all sorts of advice around us, all sorts of counsel, all sorts of choices that could be taken. But as you start to praise God as the entry point into God's promise, as you start believing God's word will speak life into your future, you believe in its prophetic nature and its prophetic power. And as you allow personal power, that is, allowing the Lord to work in your inner man, in your inner heart, allow God to do what he wants to do within your spirit, within your heart. You know, Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. And I love this verse. My message today has been from the book of Ezra about God taking what once was glorious but had been ruined and making it glorious again. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, listen to what it says. It says, just got to give me a minute because my scriptures have disappeared off the screens. Ezra 8:21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. Listen to it again. It talks how Ezra led the people. They came to a river called Ahava. A-H-A-V-A. It sounds to me like some kind of body lotion or body moisturizer, Ahava. And I was preaching at Hillsong Church in New York City, and I said that. And I said, it sounds like some sort of body moisturizer. And there was a Jewish girl there who says, Ahava is a body moisturizer. It's from the Dead Sea in Israel. So there you go. I thought I was giving someone a great entrepreneurial idea, but I was just prophesying. Well, I'm finishing right now. But it's what I love. It says that Ezra, at that river, the river Ahava, it means love. It says they sought the Lord for the right way. He says, for us, for ourselves, for our little ones, our families, and for all our possessions. Seeking God for our lives, for our families, and for everything he puts in our hand. That's how ruins come to life. Listen to it again, friends. When your world caves in, still your hope will cling to his promise. Where your courage ends, let your heart find strength in his presence. I walk through the fire with my head lifted high, and my spirit revived in your story, and I'll look to the cross. As my failure is lost, in the light of your glorious grace, let the ruins come to life. Anyone here believe that God can bring ruins to life? Anyone believe God can bring ruins to life? What do ruins represent in your life? What maybe does it seem is in smoking ruins? Because I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to believe God with you for ruins to come to life. Every single person who you can identify with this message, you can identify with it, you know. There's areas in your life, maybe in your finances, maybe in your home, maybe in your career, maybe even for some, your reputation is in ruins. But whatever ruins represent, I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe for God for them to come to life. Can we have every eye closed? And every single one of you says, Brian, pray for me. Pray that ruins will come to life in my world. Lift your hands up right now and I'll pray together with everyone. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you're the God of your word. And Lord, I thank you that through you, ruins come to life. And Father, I pray you'll have your way in every life here. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name where people have walked through the fire, that you'll enable them to keep their head lifted high. Lord, I pray we may know the power of praise. Lord, that we can enter into your promise, into your will through the power of praise. Lord, I pray we'll continue not to read the reports that only speak defeat, but Father, not allow just our thinking to rule, but that we will allow your word to speak life into our future in Jesus' name. I believe for ruins to come to life in the beauty of your name. Father, I pray that rising up from the ashes will be the will and the promise of an all-powerful God. And I thank you in advance for all that you are about to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Just stay still for a moment, please. You know you're important to God. He has a purpose and a plan for you. I believe today there are people here who can make a decision, a great life-defining decision, to allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. Whosoever will, the Bible says, to the Lord may come. This is the most inclusive message that there is, the gospel of Jesus. It's for whosoever will. Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you. He has a plan for your future. And the scripture, it makes it clear that anyone who will call on the name of Jesus Christ can know what it is to be saved. God can bring ruins to life. If you've never made that choice to invite Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, I'd love the honor of praying with you today. I'm going to believe in this 8 a.m. service for there to be many people who will say, Brian, when you pray for people to connect with Jesus, when you pray for people to encounter God, would you pray for me? And then I'll pray one prayer with everyone. And we're going to believe today to see people's lives restored, to see the will of God working in people's hearts. If you've never been born again, if you've never connected with Jesus in a personal way, would you let me pray for you? Or if perhaps you've known the Lord at some point, you know, he never moves. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is on your side. But we can be making choices where maybe we're living disconnected from the will of God. It's time to get right with him, to come back to that place of living your life in a place of restored relationship with Jesus. I believe today can be a new beginning for people. It could be a new chapter. We're going to pray a prayer. And when I pray, every single person who says, Brian, would you pray for me that I could be born again, that I may be saved, that I may encounter God for the first time. If you've never made a conscious choice to invite Jesus into your life, this is your day. Or as I said, if maybe you've known the Lord, but you're allowing whatever else to get in the way, you're living dislocated from being in the center of the will of God, I want to pray for you. Can we have every eye closed? Every single person in prayer? And let's be thinking about our own lives and where we stand. I'm going to count to three, and every single person who says, Brian, please include me in that prayer. I want to pray for you. You ready for it? One, two, three. Lift them up. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Keep raising all over the place. In the balcony, here on the floor. Anyone else, lift your hand. Join those whose hands have already been raised. You want to honor King Jesus in your life. I can see people in various parts of the building. Well, let's give them a big congratulations, first of all. Give them a big congratulations. And let's stand together. Can we stand together, everybody, please? The whole room. And we're going to pray this prayer together. And those of you who raised your hand, I'm going to believe for you that this will be your day, a new chapter, a new beginning, that you will know the power of salvation, be born again, be right with God, start on a whole new journey of faith in Jesus' name. But I want everyone to pray out loud after me this prayer. You ready? Out loud. Dear Jesus, this is my decision to surrender to you every part of my life. Today is a new beginning. Because of Jesus, the power of sin is broken. I'm a child of God, a new creation. Thank you, Jesus, for your word and your power. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. You be blessed. Thanks so much.
So my name is Jeff, and I serve on the pastoral support team. And as we go into a time of worship with our giving, if you consider yourself part of the Rock family, if you can do me a favor and take out your turquoise envelopes. And for those of you guys who are guests today, friends, if the Lord is also speaking to you to support this.